I like the fact that God's word is direct, gives absolutes. We've been in God's word a lot of years. We've covered a lot of books of the Bible, some that are not even on the web. We did things in the Kings and Samuel and Judges, and we have a background, a backdrop to see who God is. So when we move to the 23rd chapter of Ezekiel, we shouldn't feel like this is something brand new insofar as how God deals. He's consistent. He teaches. He's a teacher. He gave Torah, the law, what we call the law, to teach. Now we've gone through Ezekiel 16, and now we're at 23, and we talked about how when Israel was young, and he used the imagery in chapter 16 as a baby born, left out in the wilderness, or in the woods, on the ground, not even bathed, left in his own blood. And he came and washed and salted the baby and said, live! She grew up, reached puberty, time for mating. Her pheromones were going really good. And he came and covered Israel with his skirt, which is type and figure of that now you are under my wing, under my protection. I will protect you from others. I will be the one that will dress you up. To get a better illustration of that, you go back in your mind to the book of Ruth, and you see a woman that was a Moabite woman that did not decide to conform to the ways of Moab once she learned the ways of God. She had a God of her own. She had a nation of her own. She had a family of her own. But something happened when she was with Naomi that caused her to want to have Naomi's God. That one in 16 said, wherever you go, Naomi, I go. Where you lodge, that's where I lodge. Your people will be my people. And then, the coup de grace, your God will be my God. And we know as the process of time came, she showed herself to be faithful to Naomi. She showed herself to be a virtuous woman. She showed herself to really want to be a part of what God had done through those people. And in the end, when it came time for harvest, she went and put herself under the skirt of Boaz. You protect me. I'll be yours. I'll be faithful to you. And Boaz was not the closest in kin, but he didn't rest till he found out who was, and he took this woman to his own to be his wife after all of the proper procedures had taken place. So you get to see, if you go through the book of Ruth, what that is really saying in Ezekiel 16 when I covered you with the skirt. But unlike Naomi, Israel, the family of God, they didn't want to be true to being under his skirt and protection. Look, the family must not look to another to sustain it. I know the book of Ruth is short, but somewhere along the line, we would have heard, I believe, if Ruth had gone somewhere else to be with another fella. Israel went and tied itself to all of the other nations. Played the harlot. Paid nations to come in and be friends and protect. Paid Shishak. Gave gold on top of gold. Tiglath-Pileser was paid. Ben-Hadad's people had been paid. The Syrians. They made different kind of allegiances with people and served their gods. Somebody say, Tim, you're taking a long time to get there, because what I did last week when we went through it, Thursday when I went through it, I show where we are today. I want to show what was really going on there. I want to show the picture that they had turned their back on the one that would sustain them, which is God. And I see that they did it with serving their God. But why is that? In talking with Ann, I It's kind of amazing. She brought up something and was talking about a scripture in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 19. I know somebody would go to it for me and read it. And I heard it, and I think I want to talk about that a little bit today. But the amazing thing was, is that I was doing my reading this morning, and that scripture was just there. I was like, wow. This is the very scripture that Ann had talked about to me. Now, this is some of the beautiful benefit of having someone that loves God's word, and you can talk about it in your home together. So, what is it that it says in this passage? What is it that's going on in this passage that I want to talk about? Actually, I told you 1 Kings. I should have said 1 Samuel, because in Kings, we would deal with Rehoboam when the kingdom split. We may talk about that a little later. But I want us to see something that's going on in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and around the 19th verse. And let me give you a backdrop on this. Well, first, let's just read it. Read what it says in the 19th verse, somebody.
And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not.
Now, they are praying and want it to be that they don't die. Something has happened that I haven't told you about. But I just want you to see how they've gone on. Read on, please.
For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king.
They are encapsulating what the problem is. We've done some evil that we ask for a king. Now, there's a reason that they ask for a king. And the reason that they asked for a king is going to be in the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel. So I'm going to have somebody already to be over there while Gary is reading that, so we'll be able to move a little quicker. But go ahead and finish reading where you are, Gary, please.
And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord.
What was the wickedness that they did in asking for a king? Now that I've got somebody, I'm sure, over there in 1 Samuel chapter 8, look at 1 Samuel chapter 8 and read to me the 5th verse.
And said to him, behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your way.
Take me back to the verse 4 so we know who the him is. And if I can get Ann to go to Habakkuk chapter 1, we'll be able to move into our text for today. Read again, Dree.
Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations.
Now, if you'll hold that verse right there, because I'm going to ask you to read it again, and I'm going to have Gary to read 1 Samuel 12 and read that 20th verse one more time. Read that 20th verse, and immediately after he reads that 20th verse, you read your verse, Dre, and I want you to hear them together.
And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart.
Verse 5 that you have, Dree, in 1 Samuel 8.
Said to him, behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations.
So we see in that 19th verse, the first one that I gave you in 1 Samuel chapter 12, it says all the people said to Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not, for we have added to all our sins this evil to ask for a king. But what kind of king were they asking for? They were asking for one that can serve us so that we can be like all of the nations. I'm not going to read this scripture to you because I know it by heart. Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The family should never look to anyone else to sustain it. When you look to this worldly system, the government, you look to sociologists, you look to psychologists, You look to family members that don't love God. You look to your state, your federal government to sustain you when they're totally against what God wants, and you want a king, or you want a pastor, or you want a leader like your governmental officials, one that can exonerate you when you do wrong and say, legally, it's okay. What do you mean, Tim? When the government said it's okay to kill a baby in the womb, and we call it abortion, you call it choice as a government. Now you want to bring that to God's house, the family, and you want your pastor to say that it's okay with God. That's being conformed to the world, and you're saying to God, we want somebody to be like the other nations. When the government say, throw your parents away when they're old, because they are too inconvenient for you, and lay them up in a place where somebody might whip them or whatever, or even if they treat them well, but you do nothing. Get your pastor to say, get your assembly to say that you're doing right by that, because, child, you have to live your own life. We want a nation. We want a king or a leader to make us like the nations. Then when it comes down to it, and you look, and you see your educational system that is set up by the government that tells them what they can and cannot do, what books they can and cannot have, when you cannot talk about God, and when you have to teach as part of your curriculum that God did not create this world. Now what you want to do is you want to tell your pastor or your leader that we need to start teaching what they teach. We need to send our school children to their schools so that they can be educated and learn psychology and learn philosophy and learn secularism so that they can fit in into the world and that they can get a job and live. So what do? You start bringing in what is called black liberation theology, and you start bringing in liberal theology, and you start bringing in a type of theology that will bring in Marxism or socialism, and you say, we want our church, our assembly, to be like the nations. We want our educational system to be like the nations. We want to go get our accreditation or accreditation from the government of what curriculum we can teach our children. And we don't realize we become more and more like the nations. The government knows, and I was listening to Ann. I'm telling you, it was quite amazing. Ann was listening to something this morning called The Truth Project, and I happened to go in and out where she was, and it was talking about what I'm talking about. And the man said, I forgot his name. Do you remember his name?
No.
The man said that the state continually encroaches upon your life and takes the place of God. So what they do is they'll allow your leader or your assembly to get what is called a 501c3. And in that, we can tell him what he can and cannot say about God. If a man is practicing adultery, homosexuality, if a man is doing any kind of wickedness, and you say that you cannot become a teacher or a leader in this assembly, they can go back to the state since you've got your paperwork from the state, and guess what? They can sue you for discrimination. But you wanted the money. You wanted to be able to get a grant. I'm talking about the assembly. You wanted to be able to get a grant so that you could have a bigger building, so that you could have a gym. Maybe your pastor could drive a Bentley or get a plane, or that he could have status in the community so that he can look like the other leaders in the community, maybe the senator or the state senator, state representative, what you call the people's city council. He wants to have status like the other people. And so what do? You start giving over your authority that's given by God as a family to the state. Now let's go back and read this 18th verse of 1 Samuel 12 and 19. I want you to see it. Gary, hold on a minute. Dre, you read that 4th and 5th verse again, and let's look at it in that light. Because that's a great evil, and we don't realize a lot of time things that are evil are We don't realize because we're not thinking biblically. Read, Dree, with your power.
Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations."
Do you think that God needs the other nations to show him how to deal with his people, whom he made a culture, whom he gave laws, whom he set them up to be the heads of the earth? Now you want to lose your position and be like the other nations? What does it say in verse number 6 about that same thing that they said, Dree?
But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord.
Next verse.
And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people.
Give them what they want." If the assembly and the family of God don't want to hear God's word, don't want to hear God's laws, don't want to be held responsible for their wickedness and ungodliness, and they want to follow and have a pastor that will follow after Carl Jung, Sigmund Freud, Abraham Maslow, the people that call themselves psychologists and psychiatrists, and you want a person to go before you to give the same kind of counseling that they give, give the people what they want. Because you don't want to be conformed. You want someone else to sustain you in your dirt and your wickedness. And you have invalidated God's word. They invalidated Samuel, and because they say he was old. What did that have to do with anything? When Samuel was a boy, he was the one that corrected Eli, the high priest, and the fat, greedy, nasty man fell down, and his neck was broken, and his two sons were dead, and the woman that had a child, she died, and the baby was called Ichabod. The glory was gone. And that was a boy, a lad that did that. We know that God doesn't care if you're old or young when he wants to do a thing. Mm. We know about the family of God rich. We know Abraham was old. Paul said in Romans 4 he was good as dead. God said, "You will have a child this time at the time of life next year. Now go and be with your wife and do what's necessary. I don't care if you've been old. I don't care if her breast is dried up from the womb. I don't care if she's doubly dead, was barren all her life, and past the flower of her age. I say go act." Somebody said, "Well, that's Old Testament." Well, you didn't read about Zacharias and Elizabeth. You don't read the Bible. So the excuse that they gave that he was old. No, you like what you see in the other nations. You don't like to be different, and you cause yourself to participate in whoredom. Go ahead and read that seventh verse again. It's very pretty.
And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them."
Look at verse 8.
"According to all the deeds that they have done, from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you."
So what God has said is that this is a continuation of their actions. From the time they got into the book of Judges, we see that the second chapter of Judges, it said another generation rose up just as soon as Joshua died, that didn't know the Lord and didn't know their precepts, and they started serving other gods and followed those. And Samuel was one of the last judges, so they did that for all of those years, around 400 years. And so the passage that I had Gary reading, when the people, in the 18th verse, Samuel called to the Lord sent thunder and rain in the day of harvest. And say the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. That's why they asked him to pray. We have sinned for asking for a king. God had always decided for them to have a king, Jane, because God had told them in Deuteronomy 17, when you get a king over you, you set the one that's one of your brothers, not somebody else, and it'll be the one that I choose. God had already told Abraham kings would come from your loins, but you want to run stuff. You want to run it. Now, if you can check something, you may be able to find a little piece of juice. There was a child that was born illegitimately named Phares, and there was another one that was born named Zerah, because Judah had, his son had died, and he paid this harlot he thought, but it was his really his daughter-in-law. And he paid her to have sex, but he didn't know it was his daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. And she got pregnant, had twins. Now, the Bible said a bastard would not enter into the congregation of the Lord to the 10th generation. The 9th generation was the time of Jesse. The 10th generation is David. Now, do those things correlate? Mm-hmm. I think so. I can't actually prove it. Because sometimes they'll leave out a person in the genealogy. But if you go back and count, go back and count, David is of the tribe of Judah, and you go and you'll see Boaz, Obed, Jesse. Guess what number 10 was David? It's as if it looks like we moved too soon. We didn't wait on God. Because we see the same one that anointed Saul anointed David, and so you got that one, and David was living, and we don't know how God was going to bring it about for the scepter not to depart from Judah, but we know that God was faithful. We saw that David had a close friend named Jonathan who was willing to lay down his authority to go along with what God said. So they sinned, and the Bible said in verse 20, Samuel said, "Fear not that you have done all of this wickedness,
yet do not turn aside from following the Lord."
Now here's that verse Ann was telling me about. Look at that 21st verse and taste it.
"And do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver."
Now see, when you go for empty things or for vain things that cannot profit, you wanting to look like other nations, you wanting to be set up the rule of government like other nations, and you're serving other gods, and it can't happen. It cannot, they cannot profit you because my hand controls the world. Verse 22.
"For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself."
So it said the Lord will not forsake the people. You've heard people say that God will not forsake him, right? He will not forsake the people. Well, then read 24 and 25 and see. Because people will quote this, James. They will quote that the Lord will not forsake you. The Lord will not forsake his people. Read 24 and 25.
"Only fear Yahweh."
Wait a minute, there's a caveat there. I'm not through talking. Only fear the Lord. In other words, he is the only one that can sustain you as a family. He is the only one that can lift you up. And so when we get to this 23rd and see a holy and a holy, but we're going to see that from the outset, they were warned. Read some more.
"Only fear Yahweh and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king."
You will be consumed. You will be destroyed, both you and your king. The same one said he won't forget, he won't forsake you. That's only if you hold on. So now let's roll back into the 23rd chapter with this backdrop of Leviticus. And let's talk about what they've done that is so wicked, that is so egregious. And then when we get to them going and being in love with the Babylonians, that's when I'll have you to read it in Habakkuk. 23 and 1, somebody. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," I'm in Ezekiel, "son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother. They both committed whoredom in Egypt. They committed whoredom in their youth, and they pressed, their breast was pressed, and they bruised the teats of their virginity." That just means that they had their breast caressed, and they were being fondled. And this is talking about as the nation, the two girls. And the two girls, if I were to read it, I decided not to read it. If you go and look in the Kings, 1 Kings chapter 11, Solomon had built all of these nations, and he had wanted to be, you know, the top man, and he had built allegiances to keep peace. God was his source of peace. So he started marrying these women. God said, "I'm going to separate the kingdom from you." If you look in the 40th verse of 1 Kings chapter 11, you'll see that Jeroboam is going to be the man that is placed in charge over the 10 kings. So he separated them, and that's where you get the two names, Ahola and Aholibah. Solomon had, the kingdom had once been united. We went through this in the Kings. And when Solomon sinned, he took 10 tribes, and he said, "I'm going to give them away, and only the two are going to be left in Judah and Benjamin." So if you walk with me there, you know, by me just going over, we save some time in reading it. Read the next part in verse 4.
Ohola was the name of the elder.
Ohola is the 10 tribes that went with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that caused Israel to sin. And as Gary was talking when we talked earlier, Jeroboam set up 2 calves of worship and changed the day of worship, one in Bethel, one in Dan. Go ahead.
And Aholibah, the name of her sister.
And Aholibah, my tent is in her. Now, there are variations of what they say that name means. There are variations where they say that some say that means my tent is in her or that it's a marriage tent. But when I deal with my tent is in her and the other one in Ahola, my tent, I'm coming from the vantage point of what they did do. So therefore, I got a leg to stand on how they lived. Go ahead and read.
They became mine. And they bore sons and daughters.
Even with the split, they became mine. Do you see the graciousness of God here? You've already done other things and you became mine. Please read.
As for their names, Ohola is Samaria, and Aholibah is Jerusalem.
Now, you can still see even at the time of Jesus in John chapter 4, when Jesus must needs go through Samaria, instead of going across the Jordan River, he goes straight up to Galilee. When going to Galilee, he goes straight through Samaria, and that's where he meets the woman in the well. And we find that even at this place, they had a form of worship, and Jesus told the woman at the well, you all don't know what you worship. In Jerusalem, which is Aholibah, they do know what they worship, because Aholibah was returned to the land after the exile. And so in Jerusalem, they knew what they were worshiping, but he said there comes a time that it won't be in this mountain in Samaria or where Mount Gerizim is or in Jerusalem. God is seeking for those that will worship him in spirit and truth. That's why we need to know the scripture so we'll know what truth is. Read on, Dre.
Ohola played the whore while she was mine, and she lusted after her lovers, the Assyrians.
Now, when we talk about he lusted after the Assyrians, we realize if you think about it, Jehu was selected by Elijah to go and execute judgment on Ahab, Jezebel, etc. But then he made a league with Assyria to deal with Hazael. Hazael had Syria under his control. We not only find that, we find that Hoshea, he made an allegiance, and he tried to stop paying Hoshea, and that's when they were taken into captivity in the end of the reign of Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel never had a righteous king. Israel never had a king that was totally righteous. Not one time. Please read.
Warriors clothed in purple, governors and commanders, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding on horses. She bestowed her whoring upon them, the choicest men of Assyria, all of them.
What she did was, now watch the imagery. The imagery is looking at beautiful men. Got robes and regalia, and they look good. This is going back to the same kind of attitude. I'm looking at what other nations have. Mm. They got a king that goes out before. And we're not talking about a bubblegum king. We're talking about he has someone that goes out that looks like they can fight. He looks magnificent. He looks stately. We don't have a king. Maybe one day Ehud jumps up and he delivers the people. Then maybe one day a guy that's scared named Zerubbabel or Gideon, he jumps up and he delivers. Then one time we got a woman named Deborah. She jumps up and judges. Then we may have Tola that jumps up. Then we got a man that's a Nazarite. He judges. His name is Samson. So that came on the tail of God using judges to deliver them. We never know who's in charge. We don't know. So we want to be like the other nations. Can we say the other governments? The other rules. We want to be like the other governments and know who's in charge so that we can look good in their eyesight. Do you not realize that that's the problem with the modern day church and with the modern day Christian? We want to look good in other people's sight. We don't want to look good in God's sight. So we look for them to sustain our well-being, our happiness, our sense of self-worth, and the way that we govern and train our children, and the way that we're protected. It's the same thing. So they looked and they doted. Come be with me. I want to be a part of you. Let me use an illustration. A broke woman a broke woman. It doesn't have much. If she conducts herself in such a way that she has quality and value, and a man of great renown or a man of substantial financial worth see her, and he looks at the value of her, the moment she marries that man, her status has changed. She is no longer the broke woman, especially if it's in certain states in the United States. Everything he has is half of hers. Unless they do a prenuptial, but I'm just saying under normal circumstances. Israel wanted to have that added to her, the regalia, the chief captains, the horses, and all of that. And instead of looking to God to sustain, they start looking to another. And this is why it is called adultery, fornication, running after horses issue, running after donkey fallacies that you see in that 20th verse, is because when the two come together, they become one. That's what it says in Genesis. Male and female created he them. What God has joined together, Jesus says of that, let not man put asunder. Matthew 19. So they become one, and God takes it all the way to the end. This is how I see it. I'm spirit. When you join to me, this is something magnificent. You don't understand that when you participate in sexual intercourse, this is a picture and a type of the two becoming one physically, what should have already been done spiritually. Now you're not going to lay up with me this way, but you should become one with me, that we're inseparable. When you go and want to be like the nations and join with them, you're tearing yourself away from me and you're joining with them, because I will not share my marriage, my bed, with another. Read some more, the sweeted word of God. I hope I made that plain.
She bestowed her whoring upon them, the choicest men of Assyria, all of them. And she defiled herself with all the idols of everyone after whom she lusted.
Now, does that make sense now when it starts saying she defiled herself with everybody? Because now I've got whatever it is that you got to get you to that place. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, your God, your ways, your standards, your method of being trained. Why do I say that? I'll let you know when I get to Babylon in a moment. Here is the point. God is saying, this is the way you did, this is the way you defile yourself. As I was talking to Ann again last night, it was so beautiful last night, this morning, she was saying that the other nation looked like they were doing good without God. They the one had the horses. They the one had the chief commanders and all of this. Here we are, our heavens are like brass. Our earth is like iron. Our crops are not growing. We are starving. Things are happening. And you're not looking that you're still doing worship, but you're still mistreating the poor. You're not executing judgment. You are still living outside of my will because you're doing idolatry. Therefore, the reason you don't have is because you're supposed to be under my skirt and my provision, and we made an agreement that as long as you do like I say, you'll have crops, you'll have rain, you'll have children. None of your women will be barren, none of your animals. I have promised you the world, girl. But you still expect me to give you the world and not keep my word while you in your wicked and ungodliness. So you try to circumvent my skirt, my protection, my provision. You want to circumvent that and go around my judgment and go get with another man. That's about as bad as riches. All of a sudden you go broke and Erdene say, you know what, this guy right here, he got a great job. I mean, he worked for the governor, and I'm sorry, but I want to go stay there and be with him. But I'm still going to be your wife. But as long as he'll accept me, I'm going to go where I can be benefited. Do you see what they're doing to God? Read some more of the passages. That's enough illustration.
She did not give up her whoring that she had begun in Egypt. For in her youth, men had lain with her and handled her virgin bosom and poured out their whoring lust upon her.
Now, there's a lot of ways I can explain that, but I just want to give you this part here. During the time when they were coming out with Moses, they said, would to God we had died out here in the wilderness. The way God is dealing with us, what did God we died in the wilderness. I wish we could just go back to Egypt to get the leeks and the onions and the garlic. At least we were protected there. Here we are out in the wilderness, and here come some people after us, Og of Bashan. The Midianites want to kill us. So they learned. They felt like we could be sustained if we go back to Egypt, irrespective of how hard Egypt had treated us. Read some more, Dre.
Therefore, I delivered her into the hands of her lovers, into the hands of the Assyrians, after whom she lusted.
And so we see that she lusted after the Assyrians. That wasn't the first one, but these are the ones that's being brought out at this particular time. And what did God do? I delivered Hoshea and Israel totally to the Assyrians, and they were wiped off. Not that they totally disappeared, but they brought in other nations, and they judged, and the nation ceased to be. Read on.
These uncovered her nakedness. They seized her sons and her daughters. And as for her, they killed her with the sword.
So we see that they mangled, they killed, they mistreated the children. There was great slaughter there because of the fact, what is the judgment for an adulterous woman? Death. What is the judgment for an adulterous man? Death. So God said, the judgment that has been propagated by what I told Moses, I fulfill. Please read.
And she became a byword among women when judgment had been executed on her.
Let me tell you what a byword is. Jane, if somebody called you a Jezebel, would that be a compliment? And so people, that's what it's called, a byword. But in actuality, when people think of Jezebel as a whore, they don't realize this was a queen. They don't realize this was a queen that could have people put to death and take their property. They don't realize this is the queen that's made Elijah the prophet afraid. But the word is still a byword because she is the picture of whoredom. When the Bible talks about whoredom in the book of the Revelation, it uses her name, Jezebel. So the whoredom of what she did in bringing that type of religion and worship there is tantamount to a woman going out and being a whore. Why? Because you teach the people to go and give allegiances to other to try to be sustained by them instead of me. You all remember in Mount Carmel, I'm not going to read it, when the people had gotten so much in that whoredom that Jezebel brought in that they didn't remember if God was God or not. And Elijah said, if God be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. And they had to have a showdown on top of Mount Carmel with the people that had already been under his skirt. That's how bad the whoredom had gotten. Read some more, Dree. Let's go back to where we are.
Her sister Aholibah saw this, and she became more corrupt than her sister in her lust and in her whoring, which was worse than that of her sister.
Now, do you understand when God said that she did this and she became worse than her sister, that that's saying a lot? I remember we talked in our discussion the other night, and we talked about Bethsaida and Chorazin, where Jesus talked about that the mighty works had been done in Sodom, had been done in you, Bethsaida and Chorazin. It would have remained until today. What about what he just said here? Let me read you something in Jeremiah chapter 3 and 1. If a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's wife, shall he return again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers, and yet you return to me. You return to me. Look at verse 3, because I'm not trying to read the whole chapter. Therefore the showers have been holding. That's why you think it's vain to serve the Lord. The showers have been holding. You don't have the latter rain. You got a whore's forehead. You're bold with your mess. You refuse to be ashamed. You refuse. Okay, verse 6. The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah, have you seen what backsliding Israel have done? Has anybody else picked up with this with me? They can take over from reading. Have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain, under every green tree. She has played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn to me, but she refused. This is Israel. She refused. And treacherous, look, she returned not. And treacherous Sister Judah, her treacherous sister Judah saw it, and when I saw, For all the causes whereby black citing Israel committed adultery, I put her away with the bill of divorce, yet treacherous sister Judah feared not, and went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and stock. And yet, for all of this, her treacherous sister Judah has not returned unto me with a whole heart. But faintedly, she did it faintedly, said the Lord. Somebody read verse 11, and then we go back to Ezekiel.
And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel has justified herself more than treacherous Judah.
I just wanted you all to see this. This is so bad in Ezekiel that God has said that Israel was more justified than Judah. It's the same kind of picture that Jesus said, woe to you, Tyre and Sidon. I mean, what do you say to Chorazin? If the works have been done in Sodom, and then there's another place where he talks about where in Tyre and Sidon, if his works had been done, they would have repented. I submit to you that what God is saying, by based on comparison, Israel is justified, and I put her away. Aholah had been put away, killed with the sword, and look at you. You want to talk about the mercy of God? You want to talk about God being graphic, but you want to at the same time look at his mercy. If I did this to Aholah, what do you think should have been done to you? Mm-hmm. Go back to Ezekiel. Let's run through this passage real beautifully.
Her sister Aholah saw this, and she became more corrupt than her sister in her lust and in her whore.
See, in Ezekiel, it doesn't show that she justified. I'm not saying that Israel was righteous. I'm saying that you showed how much worse you are. Really, in a great sense, you shouldn't even be allowed to still exist. Please read.
Which was worse than that of her sister. She lusted after the Assyrians, governors and commanders, warriors clothed in full armor, horsemen riding on horses, all of them desirable young men.
That's what we talked about just a moment ago. But read on, because now what he's done is he's saying that this is what Israel has done. Now let's talk about Aholah.
And I saw that she was defiled. They both took the same way. But she carried her whoring further. She saw men portrayed on the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed in vermilion.
Now we see the images of the Chaldeans portrayed in vermilion. Gary, go to Habakkuk chapter 1 for me. I want us to see what they saw. I want you to see what they felt. I want you to see what's really going on in this passage so that we can see what Ezekiel is saying. Because if we see what Ezekiel is saying, we can see that the same thing that they had going on when they wanted a king. Go to the 6th verse for me, please, and start there. Okay, Habakkuk 1 and 6 says, for lo, I will raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nations, which shall march through the breadth of the land.
To seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves.
They are their own government. They set their own standard. And this is what Israel is seeing. Please read.
Their horses are swifter than leopards.
Oh, look at the horses. We would want to be like that. Please read.
More fierce than the evening wolves.
More fierce than the wolves you see on Animal Planet's tearing an elk apart. Please read.
Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour.
They come and they don't play when they come. They come to destroy. In other words, if the family of God is not going to look for God to sustain them, look at how beautiful in this particular time when you don't have machine guns and army tanks, look how beautiful this army looks. Please read.
They all come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff.
These people, Brother Charles, the Chaldeans, they look at kings. King? I'm going to rule. I'm going to be in charge. And so Israel, Aholibah, is looking at this as, this can sustain me. This can sustain me, Rich. If I can get with him, I'm good. Please read.
And at rulers, they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it.
They look at every fortress. They look at fortresses, things that you set up to protect yourself. They look at it and they laugh. Read on.
Then they sweep by like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own might is their God.
Men whose own might is their God. Now, if you will, go back to where you just saw what Aholibah saw when they saw paintings on the walls. Now, archaeologically, they had a lot of reliefs on the wall. You may have seen sometimes in Babylon, they would have the lion's body and it with Nebuchadnezzar's head on it and stuff like that in Babylon. And he had the hanging gardens had been made. They did a lot of archaeological advances and they had a lot of reliefs and it looked beautiful. It was magnificent, these men. Please read what Israel saw.
She saw men portrayed on the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed in vermilion, wearing belts on their waists with flowing turbans on their heads. All of them having the appearance of officers.
They look good. If you're looking for someone to sustain you, your heaven has become like brass. You don't have what you need. You're afraid of other nations coming in. You're going to look to this government to sustain you instead of the government of God. And you're going to make yourself conform to what they are and be a part of them. Please read.
A likeness of Babylonians whose native land was Chaldea.
Please read.
When she saw them, she lusted after them.
When she saw them, oh, she's so pretty. He's pretty. Got a strong uniform. Got a big old horse that he drives. And other nations bow down to him. And I want him. And what did you do? You're turning your back on God. Please read.
When she saw them, she lusted after them and sent messengers to them in Chaldea. And the Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with their whoring lusts.
Now, what do we see happen? We saw, when we were reading, during the time of Hezekiah, that Hezekiah, after God allowed him, told him what to do with the fig so that he could leave, Hezekiah sold all the gold and stuff inside of the temple. Now, some believe that he made some alliances right then. I can't prove that, but we do know when they came back, they got it. We also know that Jehoahaz, when Jehoahaz had been taken to Egypt, we realize Eliakim had been set up. He made an agreement with Babylon, a political alliance. You got a problem with Egypt that you've been in bed with. Now you're disgusted with Egypt. Now you want to go to Babylonia and get something. Then you end up getting another king, Zedekiah. Zedekiah gets fed up with Babylon and turns his back on Babylon. We're going to see that explained in this passage. You're going to get enough of your lovers, because your lovers that sustain you, they're not going to sustain you to be who I want you to be. And when the family look to someone else to sustain them, we get the same thing. We get in government, ruling how we live, what we will take for God's word, laws that we feel that's telling us what God say, our society, our culture, family that don't love God, and then often our own mind that we bathe often with TV and things that don't even lead us to God's word. Read some more what happened with these people.
And after she was defiled by them, she turned from them in disgust.
See? After she was defiled. You see Jehoiakim, he wants to act. So now we see Jehoiachin is put up. But then we see when we get to the time of Zedekiah, you're disgusted. But what happens is, when God lets you get enough of what you want it to be like the other nations. What it is a perpetuation of the thing we don't want God to rule. We don't like our husband. We don't like the family that we're in. We want to be like everybody else. I got enough of that as a boy. Mom, I want to do so-and-so. No. My mama Gerald money could get to do it. His mama let him do it. You know how stupid that is to go to a parent, I mean a real parent, and tell them what some other parent did. You probably have just locked, you probably just locked the door on trying to plead your case. You should have just begged, well, may I please go? I'll promise that I'll do so and so. I got some money saved. But when you start saying, I want you to behave like the other parents with their children, who they feed, who they so-and-so, and who they're responsible if they get in trouble, and then try that mess. And this is what they're doing with God. The same pattern. Read on, Dree.
And after she was defiled by them, she turned from them in disgust.
Defiled. They came, they took part of the children, they took the gold, the silver, the vessels, they made the people turn their back, and then they walked away in disgust. Read some more.
When she carried on her whoring so openly and flaunted her nakedness, I turned in disgust from her as I had turned in disgust from her sister.
And God said the same way I did Aholibah. I'm doing the same thing to Aholibah. I want you to understand that when the family does not want to be sustained by God and they look to another, we do the same thing and we become conformed to this world. Mm-hmm. Let me show you. When we go to the book of Daniel, and I'm not going to turn to it, those that are familiar with the book of Daniel, do we know that they took in one of the deportation Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When they brought them to Babylon, do you realize what they did is the first thing they want to move and change the dietary laws that God gave them? Not only did they want to change the dietary laws, we're going to teach you our way. We're going to teach you our system. We're going to teach you astrology. We're going to make you wise in our own way so that you can control your people that are here. And the men, they decided we wanted to stick with God and let God sustain us. We don't want to be defiled with the king's meats, with his dainties, etc. And they had a 10-day trial period, and they stood for God, and God elevated those men and gave them prominence. But I want you to see that the very thing that they were going to do is what our government has done, what our society has done, what our educational system has done. It has told us that we keep our mouth shut about God in public, but we can talk about any kind of perversion, whether it's bestiality, whether it's homosexuality, adultery, fornication, murder. We can talk about anything but God. We can teach our children that the cosmos is all that there is and nothing left. Now, you're going to say that we're made of star stuff. I was watching this thing talking about Carl Sagan. Where do you get this star stuff fairy tale? In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. That's anathema in our educational system. It's also anathema in many Christian so-called churches. When you want to be like the nations, you start changing God's word so that you can look good in their eyesight. No, we don't believe God created. We believe that he did theistic evolution. So he theistically did it by random chance and killed, made everything come from amoeba and everything died to get to what it is today. And we theistically just going to, we make our own morals and decisions. This is what we get when we don't want God to sustain us and we want to become like the nations. God's word gets thrown behind the back. Read some more of the sweetest scripture, Dree. I mean, you're doing so well.
Yet she increased her whoring, remembering the days of her youth, when she played the whore in the land of Egypt and lusted after her paramours there.
Now, do you all notice that I'm building a case that her political alliances, looking for sustenance of other nations, is the same thing as adultery. Let's not be confused. In chapter 16, we talked about their gods. But let's not also forget that if you want their political alliances, those political alliances in their culture is based and wrapped around their idea of what God is. So you still get the same thing, just like when we have secularism. Humanist Manifesto 1 and 2 says secular humanism is a religion. It is. It has a faith system. What do you mean? They say, when I die, I just die. That's it. Well, that's a belief system. Some people in that will say that when I die, everything will be made all right. We go to heaven. So they import different things from different religions, but as long as it's secular, insofar as what it say about Christianity, you can do other religions, but that's another topic for another time. Read, Dree.
And lusted after her paramours there, whose members were like those of donkeys, and whose issue was like that of horses.
So you got somebody in your mind that you feel like can satiate you because you're insatiable, because you don't want me to sustain you. So now you're looking to everybody else to sustain you. And now you've gotten down to the place where you're looking for something that's the size of animals to carry you through. That's how low down you have gotten. You're pretty much at the place of being bestial. Thank you, Anne. Read on.
Thus you longed for the lewdness of your youth.
You long for the lewdness. You don't want to just be with me under my skirt. Whoever looks good to you, that's who you want. And you want to make your people look like theirs. And if they can't look like yours, we'll tie with you and become one. And yet you want to still be my bride and violate my first commandment. Have no other God before me. Make no graven images. Take my name, don't you take it in vain. And remember my Sabbath. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
When the Egyptians handled your bosom and pressed your young breasts, therefore, O Aholibah, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will stir up against you your lovers from whom you turned in disgust, and I will bring them against you from every side.
I want you to understand that this took place with Egypt. They came against them. How do you think Josiah died? Who do you think took Jehoahaz and put and locked him up when you get Eliakim on the scene? And then who do you think take and put out Zedekiah's eyes? I'm sending your lovers against you. Read on.
The Babylonians and all the Chaldeans,
mm-hmm.
Pekod and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them, desirable young men, governors and commanders, all of them. Officers and men of renown.
When I looked up those, they said those are surrounding nations on the outskirts dealing with Babylonia. So the very ones you looked up to, the very things that you saw that was beautiful, that's what I'm going to destroy you mm-hmm. with. But is that not being consistent? Remember the time the children of Israel say, we tired of this manna. We don't want no more manna. We don't want God giving us no more manna from the sky. We want some meat. We want meat to eat. God said, Moses, I'm going to give them meat. Moses said, but God, how? Are you going to kill all the cattle? I mean, I can't see this one. And God even showed then, you looking at that phallus, you looking at their prowess in Egypt, and you think that they got leeks, onions, and garlic that you can eat, and you don't see me. I'm the one. Ocean, rivers, sea, and the quails come up out of the ground. They get enough meat to eat and let it rot in their teeth. This is what God is showing. When we look for someone else to sustain us, that's whoredom. Come to me. Come to me. I can take care of your every need. Read some more of the sweet word of God because I love it.
Desirable young men, governors and commanders, all of them. Officers and men of renown, all of them riding on horses. And they shall come against you from the north with chariots and wagons and a host of people.
The very thing that would have turned you on, made you lust, made you happy, is the very thing that I said in Jeremiah is coming from the north. The north is part of the temple where the executes of judgment, and I'm letting you see that the very thing you wanted is the very thing that's against me. You wanted him more than me? Well, I'm going to let you have him because he doesn't care for you like I do. And he's definitely not going to sustain you. The family need to know that. As individuals, we need to know that because we will be conformed to this world and end up being turned aside and hating what we get. Please read.
They shall set themselves against you on every side with buckler, shield, and helmet.
Please read.
And I will commit the judgment to them.
And I will let them be your judges. Read on.
And they shall judge you according to their judgment.
That's right.
and I will direct my jealousy against you.
So you heard Oprah Winfrey say one time she had a problem with God because he said he was jealous? That's because you don't read the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You're not looking at how he took you in the 16th chapter and said, live and clean you up in your blood and made you and dressed you and gave you fine ornaments, gold and silver, and gave you everything that you needed to sustain you. And you went and spent it and gave it to another and became a whore, a filthy, dirty, wretched person. And you don't think God should be jealous after all that he's done? Mm-hmm. Shut your damnable mouth. Mm-hmm. Uttering those kind of things against God. The God of heaven who I love. Read some more word of God, Dree.
And I will direct my jealousy against you, that they may deal with you in fury. They shall cut off your nose and your ears, and your survivors shall fall by the sword. They shall seize your sons and your daughters, and your survivors shall be devoured by fire.
The very thing that you thought that would protect you. The very thing you thought that would lead you and guide you in the truth. No, your nose is going to be cut off. You're going to be pulled by hooks. Your sons and daughters will be devoured by fire because my fury is going to rest in them against you. Why? Because you got with the wrong man. You got with one that would handle you. You ever seen a woman get with a man and she think he's all of that, but you ain't seen what kind of man he is? And then he abused you, he beat you and mistreat you, and then your daddy has tried to tell you, leave that kind alone, but I want him. Or your sister tried to tell you, leave him, he's no good, but I want him, he's cute. When you get somebody, when you get a nation, when you get a system of laws, whatever is the controlling factor of that person, that law, or whatever, that's what you're going to have to walk out. If that law or that system or that government is not based upon God's word, do not look for the fairness that comes from God's word to come from that government. Because it's not, they can't do it. That's why you should look to God to sustain you and live within his means. Read some more.
They shall also strip you of your clothes.
You like to be naked? You like to be naked? I'm going to strip you naked and now you're going to be embarrassed. Please read.
And take away your beautiful jewels.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, I will put an end to your lewdness and your whoring begun in the land of Egypt.
I'm going to let you get sick of it. It's going to rot in your teeth. Read on.
So that you shall not lift up your eyes to them or remember Egypt anymore.
And so what you see, the Bible said explicitly, I'm going to make it where you get so much you won't ever want to do that again. When Romans 10 and 19, didn't the Bible say, didn't Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to, by jealousy, by a people, by a foolish nation, I will anger you. I will submit to you that when Israel went through that and they experienced all of those things, they thought that they were still righteous. They thought that God had judged foolishly. So by the time you get to the New Testament and God brings the Gentile in, who I called the other night, the other sister, we provoke them to jealousy so that they will stop doing the dirt that they were doing even then. Please read.
For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will deliver you into the hands of those whom you hate.
But the ones you hate are the one you love. Please read.
Into the hands of those from whom you turned in disgust.
You turned in disgust because you didn't like the way they handled you. You didn't like the way they put burdens on you. But you didn't want to take my yoke. You wanted their yoke. Please read.
And they shall deal with you in hatred and take away all the fruit of your labor.
That's right.
You naked and bare.
That's right. You thought that you could go get someone else to sustain you. No, you're going to be sustaining them with the little bit that you have. And when you don't have enough, then you try to turn away. Then they're going to tear you and decimate you. Please read.
And the nakedness of your whoring shall be uncovered. Your lewdness and your whoring have brought this upon you, because you played the whore with the nations and defiled yourself with their idols.
Now we know what the defilement was. You look to them to sustain you. You look to their gods to sustain you. You turn your back on the God of heaven. You brought their idol gods into God's holy sanctuary. You did not execute judgment and justice. You were getting the punishment that you rightfully deserved, and you tried to circumvent my punishment and get some other man to take you away from the punishment that you should have, and you committed whoredom. Then you realized it got worse. Then you turned in disgust, and they came back, and they got onto you, and I let them. Read some more.
You have gone the way of your sister, Therefore, I will give her cup into your hand.
You see, that's the kind of talk. Jesus asked the people one time, they were discussing who's going to be the greatest and all of this. And Jesus said, John, well, can you drink the cup that I drink? John said, I can. He said, yeah, you will. But to sit on my right or left hand, that's not mine to give. What's the point of being making? The cup is used as a type of burden or a type of trial that one goes through, or it can be judgment. In this particular case, the judgment that came on Israel, it said it's a cup of it. Not just a little empty plate, a cup. Up on the sides, rounded, it's in there. And it said, you'll drink of the same thing. Do you think that if we don't want God to sustain us, and we look to this government, we look to our social engineering people, we look to our culture, that we won't drink of that cup? You think that cup can't be refilled? Is refilled for Aholibah? That cup can be refilled. I've drank from that cup before, and I don't like it.
Thus says the Lord God, you shall drink your sister's cup that is deep and low.
Not a little cup, Charles. It might be what we would call a bowl burrito.
You shall be laughed at and held in derision, for it contains much.
Now that ought to tell you something. Do you even want a sip of that cup? I submit to you, the more we don't have a God-oriented biblical worldview, we actually will take on some of the characteristics of other gods, other nations, other cultures, and we will have that cup. And I don't know if I don't know if you want to be one of those kind of people that can sip and get a little bit and get away from it. But sometimes it's so bad, you got to drink deep and large. And I think America's going to drink very deep and very large. Read.
You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, a cup of horror and desolation.
Mm-hmm.
The cup of your sister Samaria, you shall drink it and drain it out.
Good God Almighty.
And gnaw its shards and tear your breath.
You're going to drink and it's going to have the dregs in it, like little broken pieces of it, and you're going to start tearing your breast. The very thing that you wanted caress to feel good, you're going to be tired of it. You're not going to want any more whoredom, because you're going to feel that it's dumb to be dealing with whoredom. Please read.
For I have spoken, declares the Lord God.
That's scary. When God put that little, I've spoken. That's it. Please read.
Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, you yourself must bear the consequences of your lewdness and whoring.
You know, I really want to deal with that they cast God behind their back. I may deal with it in another time, but I just want you to understand something. When they rejected God from being their king, and they decided they wanted another king, they rejected God. That's like casting God behind their back. And so what we end up seeing is this whole system that we've gone through is the very thing that I told you all that was a conspiracy. It was rebellion. I looked at one of the kings of Israel. They did a conspiracy against, I believe, Hoshea. They did a rebellion. A rebellion is, we don't really have to wait on you to sustain us. If you try to judge us, we'll go find somebody else to give us what we want. And we're going to still maintain your name, still going to say we maintain your peace. And what we do is we teach the people that it's okay to look to other nations, other gods, to do other things and not hold a God's word as the primary focal point of our lives. And what we do, we get involved in the conspiracy. Lord have mercy, if you look at the so-called modern day church, what do they not do? We'll have gay pastors, adulterating pastors. We'll have pastors that don't even know God's word. We'll have people that will go and celebrate any holiday except for the ones that God set up himself. I'm just telling you like it is. We'll lie, we'll cheat, we'll steal, we'll tell people we're building a building or a parking lot and we pocket the money. They'll divorce their wife and go get another pastor's wife. They'll go and take the money and say we're going to do this and buy a Bentley or a Jeep or whatever it is they want. I'm just saying, and still not teach people God's word, say God's word is not relevant. What we're going to do is have maybe 40 days of purpose, but we're not going to have 40 days of digging into God's word on a repetitive basis. And so what we end up seeing is that we move people further and further away from what God wants, and we sustain them by our own machinations, by our own ways, our own doing. And then we get to the place that we want to be like the nation so badly that we let the psychologists and the psychologists be the one that counsel our people that start from a Freudian base and not feel that God's word is capable to sustain people when they have problems in their marriage, when they have problems with their children, when they have problems when they're sick. And so what we do, we go get a psychologist to come in and give them counseling and get them away from God's word. How dare we not feel that we do the same kind of dirt that they did? Dree, let's read it so we can finish this chapter before I get angry.
The Lord said to me, Son of man, will you judge Aholah and Aholibah?
Not if he was a pastor today, he probably wouldn't. Please read.
Declare to them their abominations.
Let them know why I'm going to cut their tail in sunder. Read.
For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. With their idols, they have committed adultery, and they have even offered up to them for food the children whom they had born to me.
Those would be my children, and what ends up happening when you look to another to sustain you, you pass it on to your children, and you give your children up to that other system, the one that you sustain, whether it's Molech, whether it's Asherah, whether you give them up to Baal, or whether you give them up to the schools. School will want to take every time or every bit of your child's time. Bring them here in the evening. Keep them here in the evening. Let this coach be with your child and teach your child. You don't even know if this coach loves God. Let them be in this program. Let them be in that program. That's how you raise your children. We will take over what you do. You just give them a place to sleep. We'll tell them 40 hours a week what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. And then when you get through with 12 years, we'll send them to college. We'll let them get drunk. We'll let them stay in co-ed. We'll tell them about Hegel and Immanuel Kant. And they'll come back to your home and tell you that you are stupid. You don't know. You're not educated. And you've been paying somebody to teach your child not to trust God to sustain them. Tell me I'm lying. You show me many schools that will believe that God's word is the unadulterated truth. And they said, no, we can't say that. But you send your children there and you feel that you're educating them. Yeah, you're educating them. Well, what am I to do? Learn God's word. And if you can't do any better, at least debrief your child and give them something that they can fight against the wiles of the devil before they start looking at the horses and the chariots and the Bentleys and the fun that they have and the tattoos and the rings and the things that everybody else, and they go a-whoring after it to sustain my happiness, my security, my place in life. Read, Dree.
Moreover, this they have done to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and profaned my Sabbaths.
Mm-hmm.
For when they had slaughtered their children and sacrificed to their idols, on the same day, they came into my sanctuary to profane it.
Bro, Charles, that's the same thing as me going out and cheating on Ann and getting home this morning about 10:30, 11 in the morning. She put up with it, and I come and teach the Bible class. On the same day, they offer their children a sacrifice. Then they're going to come to God's temple. Well, you know, I'm going to cover all my bases. I don't want anybody to not like me. We're going to coexist. Well, I'm going to be tolerant. Every way leads to God. And therefore, now that I got the God of heaven, then, you know, a little bit of this in Buddhism I can take, and a little bit of this in Islam I can take. No, you can't. God is saying, you defiled my sanctuary. When you thought you were coming and doing something for me, no, that was defilement. Like Rich Lee told me one day, you think when you don't like truth, or you think truth don't matter and falseness don't matter, take your little glass of water. Let me get you a little glass of water. Let me take just a little pinch of defecation and put in it. And let me see if you'll drink it. maybe half a teaspoon, and put it in your water and stir it, even if you can't see it. Now, dong, Naomi, bowel movement.
Squeeze.
Now, let me tell you what the point is being made. These are the very things that God has used in his illustrations. He said, if you take his word and you don't live it, you're not even be fit to be put on the dung hill. Mm. If the salt has lost its savor, how much more the lies that we have our children. Let's say that our children are pure water if we're teaching them God's word. So they go and teach them a little evolution. Do you think that that's a vitamin or defecation? Teach them that you don't need to talk about God in the public place. Vitamin or defecation? You can live any way you want to, some pastors say. God is forgiving you past, present, and future. Mm. Vitamin or defecation?
Lord, have mercy.
I can go and mistreat my wife and everything, and I can pray a prayer and never get it right with God, but my pastor said, vitamin or defecation? We can go and trust the government that tell us we can abort our children, mistreat our parents when they get old. You consider that vitamin in your water a defecation? Look at how much we drink. The shows on TV, the songs that we hear sometimes are audio porn. You think that's vitamin going into your child's mind or defecation? And you feel that this water is going to sustain your child? Do you know that water sustains your bodily functions? We have to have a certain amount of water just to be able to think, for our blood to circulate, for our joints to work. Do you want your child being sustained by the water of God's word? Or that mixture that Rich told me about? I almost don't even want to drink this water. In this bottle, if I use it for illustration, let me set it down till I forget what I use it for. Go ahead, Dree, take us through the rest of this chapter.
And behold, this is what they did in my house. They even sent for men to come from afar, to whom a messenger was sent, and behold, they came. For them, you bathed yourself.
Bathed your Garrett, you're gone. Your school send you to Europe or send you somewhere for a 2 or 3 week and Dream make a phone call and somebody come to your house and she's bathed herself. How you like me now? Read on, Dream.
Painted your eye.
Paint her eye with the pretty color, L'Oreal. Maybelline.
And adorned yourself with ornaments.
And put on the pretty jewelry. Read on.
You sat on a stately couch.
When he got the silk and put it on the bed. Read.
With a table spread before it on which you had placed my incense and my oil.
Went to the health store and got some of the fragrant incense, the strawberry, the daffodil. And you know, like what you read in the book of Proverbs. Read on.
The sound of a carefree multitude was with her, and with men of the common sort, drunkards were brought from the wilderness, and they put bracelets on the hands of the women, and beautiful crowns on their heads.
Read.
Then I said of her, who was worn out by adultery.
Good Lord and mercy.
Now they will continue to use her for a whore.
Now I'm
even
just saying,
her.
Imagine, Gary, you come home, and all these different people have come in and had their way with your woman. Do you understand the picture that God is trying to show us if you go to someone else to sustain you? Mm. He doesn't see that it's neutral. He doesn't see that it is something that doesn't. It matters. If a man hears this picture that he's given to those in exile, and probably some of those getting it in Jerusalem, they ought to be able to see how God feels, and it should scare them to death and break their ever-loving, wretched, stone heart. Please read.
For they have gone into her as men go into a prostitute. Thus they went into Ahola and to Aholaba, lewd women.
They turned God's house, because, you know, the people are really God's house, into a brothel. Mm. Please read.
but righteous men shall pass judgment on them with the sentence of adulteresses, and with the sentence of women who shed blood, because they are adulteresses, and blood is on their hands.
When they are destroyed by their lovers, they are righteous in doing what they are doing, because God is allowing it to take place. Please read.
For thus says the Lord God, bring up a vast host against them, and make them an object of terror and a plunder. And the host shall stone them, and cut them down with their sword.
That's the judgment for a whore. You want some of this water?
I'm all right.
Okay, please read.
They shall kill her sons and their daughters, and burn up their houses.
In other words, instead of you being sustained, you're getting the exact opposite by them. Last two verses.
Thus will I put an end to lewdness in the land, that all women may take warning and not commit lewdness as you have done.
I want you to see that when I taught this the first time and I showed that there was a third sister, what we call the so-called church, notice what it says. All women should pay attention. Like Aholibah didn't pay attention, all women, all subsequent generations, all individuals that say that you're going to be one with God, you should take note that whatever it is you find to sustain you that's against God's will, there is a cup for you to drink. I tell you, that cup is full and it's deep. And sometimes you just get a taste of it. I know I got a taste of it, and I ran from that cup. Please read some more.
And they shall return your lewdness upon you, and you shall bear the penalty for your sinful idolatry, and you shall know that I am the Lord God.
Wow, what a passage. How would that fit with us? Notice whenever you are embracing something that's against God, being conformed to this world, if you follow it out to the end of what you're beginning to accept or let your children accept, what is the consequences of that? And if you look at the consequences as being something that is absolutely something that you don't want, then you will know that when these things happen, that he's the Lord. Because I gave you, I sustained you, I made you one with me like I made a Hola and a Holaba. This stuff is not just written for them. Romans 15:4 says it's written for our learning. 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says it's written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world had come. Jesus said, all these scriptures testify of me. Who do you think is being cheated on? Who do you think is allowing the judgment to come? The very thing you chose be the very thing that you end up with. Who do you think it is? That's the same one that Paul said, all these scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, and they are profitable for teaching, doctrine, for correction, getting your mind right, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Give us the mindset to never want to turn to one other than you, to be conformed to this world to sustain us. Help us, I pray, to realize when we participate in whoredom, even if it's unconscious, even if it's not willingly, that we would move away from it, and that we would not be guilty as a Holibah who would not repent, who would not return, but we will not have a whore's forehead, but that we would turn, and that we would come to you, and that we would bow the knee, and would ask for your forgiveness, and that we would repent from our wickedness. Help us, I pray, to try to stay and to live unspotted and kept pure from this wicked and ungodly world, I pray. Amen.